This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Friday, baby, so let's get the vibes going. Let's have that energy today. I feel good. How about you, Lopez?
I'm feeling funky.
Funky Friday?
I'm feeling funky.
I don't know, Figgy, can you oblige?
I'm feeling funky today.
I like it. I like the feel. I'm not going to lie,
make
though.
It funky.
Yeah.
So there's two things that happen in that handoff.
Little Daz Band, little Cool in the Game.
Oh, you're okay. Requests? I didn't know we could have requests to the DJ. That's one of the things the DJs hate the
You're the request
most.
To the DJ
hey,
guy?
Hey, you got any the Daz worst. Band? You got any
he's Daz probably band? The one up here. He's up here bumping the DJ booth like, hey, can you play?
Now, I did remember Lopez at his daughter's wedding talking to the DJ.
Oh, man.
Hey, can you play this song?
Did I really?
He was up there a couple times,
I was probably
man.
Drunk.
Hey, can you
do it?
Can you play this song for me?
There's a good chance I was drunk.
That'll do it.
I was there.
We have firsthand accounting from Sean Pendergast. When Sean said, hey, man, you know, next time you'll hear from these fellas, they'll be in West Palm Beach. I was like, one, I got excited because I've been excited for this trip for them and just spring training in general. Mm-hmm. But also, I got a little sad. We're not going to see them for a week, man.
Yeah, man. My heart always sinks a little bit when I don't see that white GMC truck in that spot.
That's right. And what's the license plate that you see on there?
I better not do
that. Oh, okay. But no. Super excited for those fellas.
I got his phone number.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead and give that to the people. I'm sure Sean will be fine with that. No, man, exciting to be on a Friday. There's some fun stuff happening on this show, in fact, getting ready for the final stretch or the last stretch of the last 27 games of the NBA season and the Rockets season in particular, at least when it comes to the regular season, because I have a full anticipation that they'll be playing some playoff basketball. So you have that. This weekend is going to be a fun weekend because there's a few things. Area 45 having their anniversary party at a Home Run Dugout tomorrow. Tomorrow as well, just getting spring training games going, Grapefruit League games going, starting with a split squad game. I think we have what? Cougars playing.
Cougs are playing.
Iowa State tomorrow. Yeah. That's going to be a college game day situation at Fertitta Center. We'll talk to Eddie Nunez, who is the athletic director of the University of Houston, later today, about 11:10 or 1:10 rather. We'll talk to him about that. We got the Texas Derby between Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas.
You said it very British.
Hey, man, soccer guy. Soccer guy. Got to do it right. I'm not going to.
Figgy, that's your next level. You got to say Derby. It's not Derby, it's Darby.
That's Darby. Right. So that we'll talk to Ben Olsen, who is the manager of Dynamo. So we'll get that later on. And, I mean, we'll just have a lot of fun. It is a Friday. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Get involved on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610.
The Texas Hammer!
Yeah! It feels even stronger on a Friday. It feels like a, like, I don't, all right, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, let's get into this topic. I've been talked about a whole bunch too much already, but these Texans, man, like, off season's here. We got the underwear Olympics coming next week, mm-hmm. more commonly referred to as the NFL Scouting Combine. And, you know, we're gearing up for what this season looks like. I think there's a lot of optimism, especially in this room, but generally around this team. You got a new offensive coordinator who is highly regarded around the league in Nick Cayley. There's a lot of hope that is there for C.J. Stroud and the entirety of the offense to, you know, be buoyed. We know this defense is really good. What can they then do? And we sometimes we can take things for granted. And I thought you brought a really interesting question to the table. Can you tell the people what that is?
Yeah, because we've been pretty much bundles of sunshine and rainbows in terms of optimism, you know, with all the things that the Texans already have done this offseason and maybe still could do and certainly, you know, going on down the line all the way into the next season. But Dan Graziano, NFL insider for ESPN.
That's right.
He was asked about a few teams where he sees regression, where he sees there could be regression. Lo and behold, the Houston Texans were one of the teams that he mentioned.
Really?
Well, let me I'll give you the direct quote.
All right, Dan.
From Dan Graziano.
Dan, you're about to be on the persona non grata list.
But it made me wonder, is there anywhere if you have to like step back and say, okay, maybe not this, maybe not that, where you might see regression with the Texans? This is what he said. He said three things. The offensive coordinator change felt like a panic move that I found alarming.
Really?
Yes, that's number one.
That's one of those 30,000-foot views versus being on the ground. Because if you're on the ground here, I mean, hell, I think DJ Bieniemy obviously wrote the really interesting piece about Bobby Slowick and, you know, kind of the downfall there with his tenure. And I think he was recently talking to Big Sarge, Locked On Texans. And one of the things he was saying is, like, I don't know that he specifically had, like, Bobby backers in that locker room by the end of it. Like, maybe some people that had been fine with him remaining, but by and large, it was people who were just either not quite sold or were out on Bobby at that point.
And we know that, but from the outside looking in, and hell, even from the inside, there might be some questions about the play calling and all that stuff, first time, you know, et cetera, because that's one thing he said. Might have been a panic move with the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think anybody on the ground here would agree with that.
Second thing he said, they probably can, talking about the Texans, they probably cannot count on the same kind of year from Joe Mixon.
That is an interesting proposition, and that's one that you seem to maybe not fully agree with, but at least want to guard against.
Yes, you want to be able to bring in whether it's...
No, not the Royal, you Lopez, because you're very much on the, hey, you need another running back.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I want to make sure to give you your credit.
Like an Aaron Jones or a drafted running back that is a little more proven and higher. No, I do lean more that way on this one. The third thing he said I found very interesting, because I think it's true, you know. He said, defensive team excellence year to year is tough to sustain.
This is the one that I was going to come with.
This is very tough to sustain, he said, and the defense carried them for much of the season. So unless their offensive line and receiver core get much better, this team, quote, could fade a little. Based largely on those three things, but I the third one, like you, it is hard for a team 1 year to the next, to sustain that level of defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those kind of, you know, there's certain truisms or tenets that we kind of hold on to as our shortcuts in various sports or just in life. There's some things that you're like, hey, generally this is true. And in order to kind of cut out of having to evaluate all the little things, we could kind of use this. And one of those things that I believe in is that defense year to year fluctuates quite a bit. Like it's, I mean, obviously there's some instances where defense can hold steady, but more often than not, that notion that, hey, you're going to have an incredible defense year to year is not one that you can necessarily bank on. And to that end, one of the things that you have to look at with this team in particular, where I do think there's a possibility for aggression, I do feel good about it just generally, but I do think there's a possibility. How about interceptions, right? Interceptions is one of those things where, especially turnovers just in general, can be a little up and down. And this was a team that turned the ball over quite a bit. We were excited about the opportunity for them to turn the football over. And to be fair, it's not like they were doing an outsized amount of it. They were 16th in the league with 12 interceptions. But are we
for
certain?
A while they were higher than that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. It slowed a little bit at some points. It came, obviously, as they do in bunches.
Yeah.
But, and I know that you have guys with great ball skills. When you talk about Kalen Bullock, seems to be a great ball hog. Obviously, Derek Stingley Jr. got the hands of a wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And Kamari Lassiter added his own. We're not going to pretend like he was not very solid with what he did. However, even with that being said, Right. I don't know that you can guarantee that you're going to be able to turn the ball over in exactly the same way in a year. So there's a possibility of regression there, I think, for certain, always, just with any team, specifically with this one. But I do like the fact that you've got guys who have, like, the talent to be able to do that. I just don't know how many five-interception games can you bank on. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I think that...
Five turnover games.
Yeah, I think that's a solid one.
No, it was five interceptions. That was the Lions game, right, where Jared Goff threw five and things?
No, that's right, that's right.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
No, I think defensively, and you hit on the point that I was gonna kind of focus in on. There are some great defenses that just don't turn the ball over. The turnovers are almost viral. You know, they like from one year to the next, a team just gets turnovers.
I don't know why that framing of it made me start thinking that, like, is there a turnover vaccine? Like,
yeah,
is there,
yeah.
And why exactly would Aaron Rodgers never get it?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
The flu changes one year to the next, so do turnovers.
It sure does.
You know, so turnovers, like, some teams just start getting turnovers and maybe not even are that good of a defense, but they look it because they're getting a lot of turnovers. Some very good defenses don't get a lot of turnovers, and they maybe are more susceptible to longer drives, et cetera. So that's one thing that I focused in on. And then the main thing that I talked about that I focused on when it came to the running back, as you talked about, you know, until this past season, we were all like, hey, running backs, you know, they hit a wall. Boy, they hit a wall, and you can't give that. And we didn't necessarily agree with it, but we did see that teams were just avoiding running backs because once they get to 28, 29, 30, it just ends. Well, Joe Mixon is going to be 29 next year. And so I'm not saying it's going to end. What I am saying is until this past season, that was a running back that you wanted to fortify. That was a running back that you wanted to back up with another really good running back, you know? So maybe that's something where I'm not going to say he's on to something, but I get what he's saying.
No, and it is absolutely worth the consideration. It's one of those things that you really and truly hope that within the brain trust of Nick Caley, obviously closer to this as the offensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryans as the man in charge, as the head coach, and of course, Nick Caserio as the person who handles the personnel, that they will all come to some level of understanding and agreement that the running back core is more solid. Mm-hmm. I understand that they pay Joe Mixon. They trust Joe Mixon. He has a level of talent that dictates that if you have the opportunity to give him the football as much as possible, you can do that. But I feel like you should learn from the five games that he missed early on, on in the season, making sure that you have something that works in his stead or something that could be a curveball, an off-speed pitch of sorts. for him, something else to go to at times if he needs a spell for a drive, something that you feel confident is not just going to be fine, mm-hmm. but something that has the possibility of doing great. Because as you're right, like we had a resurgent year for running backs, especially the ones who are veterans in that second deal or third deal, even in some instances. When you talk about Henry, you talk about, not Jones necessarily, but Jacobs mm-hmm. and some of these other guys. And of course, Joe Mixon falls right in line there. Saquon Barkley is obviously one of those. Yeah. I probably should have said that one. But yeah, man, you can't assume that necessarily that's going to be exactly the case, especially because he had a Superman cape on all last year.
He sure did.
I guess the one thing that made it so that I was not as hasty to consider that as regression is mm-hmm. he was doing all that with, let's objectively, bad offensive line play.
Yeah, but that gets him hit more. That gets him hit more, and he was hit more. The last five seasons that he's had at least 14, that he's played in at least 14 games, he's had 292, 278, 210, 257, and 245 carries. That's a lot of wear. That is a lot of wear. 278, 292, 210, 257, 245. That's a lot, and he's going to be 29.
Yeah, he's carried it very well, yeah. But yeah, I think that it is a fair point to have some level of concern for that. Are there any other places, because I mean, someone, and by the way, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, somebody said, well, from the 713, we lost the Lions game. Yes, I understand that, mm-hmm. but the idea that you have a defense that's capable of turning the ball over to that degree, I think is the point that I was ultimately making. That was, a really well-played game, at mm-hmm. least in that degree. And you go, can you reasonably expect? And of course, I understand that's the high water mark. It's not fair to necessarily use the extremes in your cases.
Yeah.
But can you expect those types of that type of situation to continue through? But it feels like, defense in general, we're talking about the possibility of regression. Is there anybody individually that you look at as possibly regressing?
Yes.
Even that, like offensively, I'm like, I don't know how much more you regress. We talked about the running game. I'm like, is there any other place there? But are there any individuals that you go, possibility of regression?
Well, I think inside linebacker, it's not one, it's two. They just keep hanging on with Neville Hewitt as the backup. You know, he's been around a long time. The starter, Azeez Al-Shaair, as much as we love him, as much as he's been sort of a heartbeat of this team, he didn't play well at the end of the year, especially in coverage. You know, he got exposed. They're inside linebackers. Now, I know you've got Christian Harris and Toto has been playing, etc. But
I thought Toto was the one that you would bring up here. Like, obviously, he had made
but he's
great
made
strides.
Progress the last 2 years, 2 years in a row.
Sure.
Yeah, and he's kind of.
Development isn't linear, though. And like,
no, I get it.
That's the one thing I was wondering about is if that would come up for you.
Al-Shaair, to me, love that dude. I really do. I think he's just a stud.
How could you not?
Yeah, how could you not? But if we're being honest, you know, he got exposed, especially in pass coverage, and Christian Harris wasn't playing, which for whatever reason, maybe that'll change. Neville Hewitt's your backup. Those two guys right there, I feel like you need to at least start looking. You know, you need to at least start looking at some big-time replacement there if you don't have them already.
That's interesting. I don't know how much I'm – well, I mean, it's fair. It is fair to wonder mm-hmm. if, like, teams are going to even be able to kind of attack them at a higher level. I know that tackling was one of those things that – I mean, it kind of regressed during the course of that season. Mm-hmm. If you look at, I think NFL.com put together like tackling grades for all the teams in the NFL, and Houston was already at 21 as mm-hmm. a team that was trying to improve that. I don't think that like you see more regression in that way. I don't know how much I am quite worried about the interior, but I hear what you're saying mm-hmm. there. And of course, one of the things that you hope is that just that group as a whole, I understand you were talking individuals, but mm-hmm. the group as a whole gets better by just, hey, how about having Christian Harris for a majority of the season as opposed to for a blip
yeah.
in the middle of it?
Yeah.
You know, like that would probably
be
helpful. If there's individuals that regress, I mean, I think I'm beyond the point of, because I was thinking like, in talking about the interceptions, you come back to like, hey, some of the raw, like, you know, speed and those types of things with the likes of like Kamari Lassiter. But I'm like, he seems to have held himself, mm-hmm. handled himself well and garnered a level of respect around this league where I don't see regression there. I do wonder, like, in that kind of that safety spot or not safety, like kind of that nickel spot that they have mm-hmm. had. Jalen Petrie had a really good season there, and I do wonder if like teams find a way to make it more difficult on him
yeah.
in that spot. But that's something that remains to be seen, and I think that's a general the defensive backcourt needs mm-hmm. a level of investment anyways to where I think yeah. some of the potential for regression can be covered by just having more depth that you can throw at different situations. And yes, say safety. Safety is one of the things that people
talk
about.
Safety for sure. I feel that's almost a given.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I still feel good about like where you're at. Like regression obviously might pop up in certain places, but I think that you're probably well situated to be able to counteract some of those things. And that's what Nick Caserio's job is to make sure that you're best prepared to counteract whatever that is and like have strengths. But it feels like your pass rush is still going to be very strong.
Yes.
At the very least, even if you don't have interception numbers at a high level, you still have great defensive backs, legitimately great defensive backs that are going to make it very tough when you pair that back with the front. And so defensively, I think it's great, and it feels like you can't really go very much down when it comes to the offense of what you saw this past season with C.J. Stroud running for his life. If you get anything, anything a little bit better, you're probably in a really good spot as a team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Friday. Coming up next, spring training around the corner. The fellas headed out to West Palm Beach next week. What are your spring training predictions? Because there was one that came down from Yarbarker that I thought was very interesting and I want to dive into. So 713-572-4610, what are your predictions for Astros spring training as it gets starting in earnest this weekend? We'll discuss that next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.